Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. You can find this on page 1554 of your Pew Bibles. And as a note, the Levi that is talking here is called Matthew, other places in the Gospels. So I'm using the word Levi because Levi is a lot easier. But, well, it's easier to use the same name. But just so you know, that is also Matthew and other places in the Gospels. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A loud crowd came to him, and he began to teach. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." I know I've talked to some of you about my experience in preaching class. Others of you, this is going to be completely foreign material. But I did not have a good experience in preaching class. My preaching professor and I did this. He almost failed me on my first sermon in seminary ever. We just didn't get along. But he did have some wisdom that was really good and really helpful. And one of the things that he taught us is if you're going to be convicting, you have to provide relief. Basically, if I'm going to bring a bat and start whacking you with my sermons, eventually I need to tell you that it's okay. If you're going to be convicting, there has to be relief at the end. I know how challenging my last two sermons were, especially last week's sermon. I know how unhappy and uncomfortable those sermons were. I know, especially last week, no one got up and walked out of here and thought, "Wow, I want more of that every week." I know. I'm not dumb. If you're going to be convicting, you have to provide relief. And my hope is that this Sunday is the relief from the last two sermons. As I said, I finally got to see it. I finally got to see Won't You Be My Neighbor, which, if anyone wants to go see it, I am happy to go with somebody and host a discussion afterwards. I will see it as many times as people want to see it, even if it is in that terrible, dingy AMC theater at Jefferson Point. And that's the only theater in town it's at. I will go and see it with that. It's wonderful. Now, at the end of the movie, the director of the Fred Rogers Center is talking about the crises that we are experiencing in 2018. The same crises that have been guiding and influencing my sermons the last couple of weeks. And he wants to ask a question that's pithy and comfortable and would be a really great question, you would think. What would Mr. Rogers do? But he stops and he's like, that's not the right question. That's not the image, that's not the message that Fred wanted to give to children. The right question for that is not, what will Mr. Rogers do? It's, what will you do? It empowers you to actually take your action. What will you do? And so that was kind of my guiding thought as I approached this scripture. I love this. This is the relief to all the talk about sinning. You have Jesus, and as Jesus does, he's walking around and he's teaching. And the crowds have come in, and he's being swarmed, and he's continuing to teach. And he comes up to the tax collector's booth, and he sees Levi, and he says, "Come, follow me." And Levi drops everything and follows him. A word about tax collectors here. Think less IRS. I know the IRS is aggressive. I know we don't love paying taxes. I know audits are terrible, but the IRS is there simply to ensure that the rules are followed. Think less nerdy, if not aggressive, guy in suit that's just working through your income. More Tony Soprano. More mobster coming up to your store asking for the protection money. Protection from me burning your store down, sort of thing. The tax collectors worked at the ports and the import areas, and the Roman government was like, when you import this things, we need this amount of money. The tax collector was responsible for collecting it. The Roman government didn't care how much the tax collector collected, and so if the tax collector collected more, all the Roman government cared is they got their money. And so any difference between what the Roman government wanted and what the tax collector collected would just enrich the tax collector. And they had soldiers to enforce this. Slimy weasels. The Jews hated the tax collectors. It was the Samaritans, which is the most hated, and then right underneath them is the tax collectors. I hated them, and for good reason, I understand it. No one in this room is thinking tax collectors should be one of the 12. We might try to enlist them for the stewardship committee, but not for being a leader and like a major leader in the church. They might have their place, but not one of the 12. But Jesus, being Jesus, sees who Levi is, and it wants to call Levi. And so he passes the tax collector's booth and says, "Levi, follow me," and he drops everything, follows him. And then takes him to his house and has a dinner with tax collectors and sinners. A word about the word sinners here. The word sinner is kind of a specific sort of thing. It's the people who aren't trying to follow all of the laws, the people who aren't falling into the ritual system, the people who aren't doing all the sacrifices and aren't cleansing themselves the way that the temple does. Sinners are basically the anti-Pharisees. They are outsiders and outcasts. And outcasts quite intentionally. Like, the Pharisees are definitely patting themselves on the back for casting these people out because they don't do what they're supposed to do. That's who the sinners are. Definitely people that a good Jewish leader would not be associating with. Definitely not somebody they would be socializing with. And in modern times, if I was ministering to those people, people would lift me up and cheer me on for being a good minister. If I was just having beers with them every night to socialize with them, you all are going to start wondering if you have the right pastor. Like, these are not the people that good leaders are supposed to be socializing with. But Jesus is there. Jesus is joyfully breaking bread with them. Breaking bread. One of our two sacraments is breaking bread with each other. And Jesus is breaking bread with these tax collectors and sinners that are despised. Joyfully doing it, vocally and publicly loving them, enjoying their company. The tax collectors and the sinners is who Jesus is having dinner with. And then the Pharisees. I could go into why the Pharisees might have been there. There's lots of reasons why they might have been there. You don't care about rich people architecture and the switch between BC. and AD. You don't care about that stuff. It's boring. But the tax collector, I mean, the Pharisees and the disciples are definitely on the outside of this dinner. And the Pharisees ask that question. Why is he having dinner with them? Now, it says they asked it to the disciples, and Jesus overheard. But you can just feel the disdain in that question, and so you know they didn't ask it quietly. They asked it of the disciples, but they said it so everyone would hear it. That passive-aggressive tactic of, what? Why is he having dinner with them? To make sure Jesus knows that he's not supposed to be having dinner with them. To make sure that Jesus knows that he is associating with the wrong people. And you can feel it inside them. You can feel it in the question. They're like, he's claiming to be this great teacher. He's claiming to be a good Jew. He's claiming to be divine. All of those things would never socialize with these people. Would never happen. And Jesus hears, because they probably wanted him to overhear, and he responds. The healthy don't need the physician, but the sick. The healthy don't go to the doctor, the sick go to the doctor. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner. I wrestled with that. I love it. Every time I read that verse, I'm like, it's so uplifting. It tells me that Jesus came for me. But I had to wrestle with it a little bit this time because it kind of raises a question. Who are righteous? Who are these people that Jesus didn't come to call? Because I believe, and I preach that Jesus came to save all, the whole of creation. I believe that Jesus came to save the Pharisees that were at that dinner that night, even if they didn't quite figure it out. I believe that Jesus came to call us all. And so when Jesus says that, what is he saying? Who are these people that he's not calling? So I have my rule about preaching that I'm supposed to provide my relief. I also have a rule about interpreting scripture. Anytime that you can read it as Jesus saying something pointed towards the rich and powerful, especially those who should know better, like the Pharisees, he is definitely saying something bad about the rich and powerful, especially those who should know better, like the Pharisees. This is definitely supposed to be a pointed question. They're supposed to hear this and feel uncomfortable. They're supposed to hear this and know that Jesus is calling them out. Because here's the thing about the Pharisees. The sinners and the tax collectors, they had to do these sacrifices to forgive their sins. They had to do these sacrifices, have the scapegoats, ask God for forgiveness, because they were sinners. So did the Pharisees. The Pharisees have to do all the same sacrifices. The Pharisees need to use the same scapegoats. The Pharisees need the same forgiveness that these tax collectors and sinners need. They're just as broken as the tax collectors and sinners. Absolutely. So when Jesus says, I came to call not the righteous but the sinners, he's telling them, you believe you're righteous. If you are righteous, you have no need of forgiveness. Here's the thing. If they were righteous, if there were righteous people, if humanity was capable of attaining that righteousness, Jesus serves no purpose. He doesn't need to suffer the poor life on earth. He doesn't need to suffer the beatings and the cross that he experienced at the end. He doesn't need to suffer even having the Pharisees ask him these passive-aggressive questions at supper. He doesn't need to suffer any of it if humans are capable of attaining righteousness. And the Pharisees know that they need the Messiah to come. They may not believe Jesus is the Messiah, but they know that they need the Messiah. They know that they need to be saved. And I think if they really had some self-awareness, they would realize they need that saving just as much as the tax collectors and sinners, as much as they might like to pretend they don't. And so when Jesus is saying this, Jesus is coming to save all. But he's telling them, if you're righteous, you don't need this. You don't need saving. To let them know they aren't. But if they act like it, they've missed the point. Are you righteous or are you a sinner? Do you need Jesus or is Jesus pointless to you? Look at the disciples for a second. The disciples do not have one Pharisee in their group, one righteous person in their group. They've got fishers, they've got a tax collector, they've got a thief, but no Pharisee. They've got a prideful disciple who wants us to know that he won the foot race to the empty tomb that morning. They got a cowardly disciple who is all ready to die right up until he doesn't have a sword to defend himself. And those two make up two of the inner three of the inner circle. But no Pharisees. These righteous people do not make up the disciples. The disciples make up people who are broken, sinful, but have an awareness of it. The disciples are not made up of the educated and the rich and the I've done all of the right things people. They're made up of normal people who just realize that they need a Savior. Are you righteous or are you a sinner? I have the answer. I know the answer. You can ask, you can line up, and I'll tell you the answer. Do you need Jesus or not? Did Jesus call you or not? The answer is we're all sinners. We are sinners. We need Jesus. Jesus has called us as sinners. What will you do in this world? How will you answer Jesus' call? Amen.